Well, hey there. This is Debs, the Horoscopes Lady, and it is May 23rd, 2007. And do you know where your planets are? I would tell you that today the Sun is actually in 8 degrees of Taurus, Mercury is still in Taurus, Venus is in Gemini, Saturn is in Cancer, the Moon is in the early degrees of Leo, Mars is back there in Pisces, and Jupiter is down in Scorpio, and the others are way too far out for you to see with the naked eye. Today, we've got gentleman Count Grimalkin. I'm very excited to have this guest. He has a sidereal astrology school out there in San Francisco. We'll be talking to him in just 1 minute. And you can hear his history, which is fascinating. He goes back to the days of sidereal astrology when it was first getting popular in this country. And it's lovely to be able to talk to him and have him here. This is a sidereal astrology show, and what that means is we look at the planets against the constellations, not as opposed to what the seasons are doing. So if you wanted to go out and look at the planets later on this evening, if you wanted to see Jupiter, then you would look in the constellation of Scorpio to see it. I'm going to answer one email before we get to our guest. Someone had emailed me at Debs, D-E-B-S, at searchbythestars.com. That's Debs at searchbythestars.com, and you can email me with your questions. A woman emailed me, actually, wanted to know why her husband is having these overriding, things of guilt. And she said, it was funny, she said he's driving me crazy because he's feeling guilty about things that, he should not be feeling guilty about. Just, in her words, is like, this is just trivial stuff. Well, this gentleman was born November 25th, 1951, and Pluto was in Cancer then. It was 28 degrees of Cancer. And this would not be for everybody born on November 25th, 1951, because part of it would depend on the time of day they were born. But if you're born at that time, Saturn has been playing back and forth across your Pluto. And what that gives you, and this is a long-term thing, what that gives you is a sense of, and I don't do the outer planets like so many of the tropical astrologers do, it gives you a sense of having to deal with the limits of what your generation taught you to believe what you're supposed to do. So in this case, he's a man of late 50s. Certain things are expected of him, that he thinks he's been told certain things are expected of him. And that's not bad. Everybody has, social rules to live by. In his particular case, all this is happening in his eighth house, so it's playing really heavy, heavy, heavy on him. And to give you the examples that she said it was okay for me to use, this homeless person had come up to him and asked him for money, and he gave him $5. And then the homeless person asked for another $2 because that way he could go buy a specific sandwich. And so her husband looked in his pocket and pulled out $5, but he hesitated, and he felt guilty about hesitating because he, feels that he should have been more open or whatever. And I thought to myself, oh, for heaven's sakes. But this is the type of thing he's going through. He's being very hard on himself. The good news is this will be over by July 15th, but what you can do is his wife, just say to him, pain is necessary, but suffering is optional. You have expectations of who you are, and that's lovely, but don't make yourself crazy with it. You're being too hard on yourself, and if you want to keep on being hard on yourself, you're going to keep on suffering. Pardon me, the pollen's got to me over here. So for anyone born around November 25th, 1951, after July 15th this year when Saturn moves into Leo, all the thoughts you've had, which are not bad thoughts, about how you were raised and what's expected of you, you'll hopefully put them into place. And that's the best thing to be said about that. All right, let's go to our guest here, Count Grimalkin. Are you on the line?
Yes, Deborah. Hello again.
Hello. Well, I'll tell you what. I know what your it was lovely. You sent me, this entire layout of what you're going to say and whatever, and I appreciate that. We know where we're going. And in that case, I'm just going to let you start talking right now and jump right into who you are and what you do.
Thank you very much. Especially when doing anything transcendental, one should always begin with a grace ritual, so let's do. Prayer should be more of a vow than a plea. Okay. To the Christ consciousness, Master, may we please ask you for your grace. Thank you. We are at one with the universal life force energy. It is now flowing to us, and we feel it. It fills our every need. Divine will flowing to us, the name of Christ self will dissolve all those conditions that interfere with the normal flow of this individual, these individuals. It has been said, it is done, so be it. Thank you. To the consciousness of the Christ, please send angels to watch over, guide, comfort, guard, protect ourselves, our personal reality, and mundane current events, and stay until it's taken care of. Thank you. Please forgive human miscreation and misuse of divine energy, substance, and consciousness. Restore, protect, give your grace and have mercy on, and help us to do it right. Be in the right place at the right time for the right experience to expand our level of consciousness. Distribute the colors as they should be through the bodies. Awaken within us anew the Christ consciousness that it may grow in the coming years. Please help us to do it right. Help us to fulfill our needs. Stay with us until the situation is taken care of and get us all back together safe and sound. Through the Christ consciousness, thank you, amen. Om, 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 om. Hello. It's Grimalkin speaking. Count Grimalkin. G-R-A-M-A-L-K-I-N. Spiritual evolution, self-realization, truth seeker, specialty Western sidereal astrology. Disciple from the Babaji line by Paramahansa Yogananda, out of one of his foremost disciples, Reverend Master Adano Lay. Stars by Fagan, out of Missouri. Cyril Fagan of Dublin, Ireland, 1896-1970, out of his chosen heir, the Reverend Professor John Masaryk, 1919-2003. Masaryk founded and was the director of the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology. Read the resume page on Grimalkin.com for details. Astrological historical trivia. In what we laughingly call modern medicine, one thing they have going for them is synthesis of research. If anyone anywhere discovers something, everybody hears about it right away. The mystery is fragmented. Each little quick cult belief group has its own piece of the pie, and there's little sharing and ample amount of secrecy, jealousy, misinformation, and most groups and individuals will only believe and only can reach the mythology they were reared to believe. Cyril Fagan is credited as being the modern-day father of astrology. Fagan primarily synthesized the last 5 or 10 thousand years of research on astrology by all civilizations. This synthesis of research is the cumulative research of millions of people over the last 5 or 10 thousand years from many civilizations. Cyril's the one that crawled through all the tombs and pyramids, so to speak, and compiled the world history of astrological research. After years of personal correspondence and communication with Masaryk, Cyril Fagan, realizing he was about to die, came to see John and was very concerned that the information would be lost again. It was when Cyril Fagan himself came pilgrimage all the way from London, England, to San Francisco, California, specifically and particularly to confer with Masaryk and complete his collaboration with John, and to lecture at the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology, that Cyril in person, face to face, Fagan's mouth to Masaryk's ear, outright told John that John was heir next in line, that Cyril was depending on John and his students to pick up and carry his torch and see to it. And it was up to Masaryk and his San Francisco school students to see to it that the knowledge was not lost again. Cyril laid a mantle on John, all right. It's common knowledge that Grimalkin is senior out of San Francisco school. Cyril personally, specifically, purposely, and with good reason, selected Reverend Professor John Masaryk of the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology to be his chosen area and carry on the primary propagation of his researching work. Masaryk was a Virgo and had the gift and grasp of in-depth understanding the realities of empirical research and did some 60 years of empirical astrological research to sort and prove the truth and facts from the fallacies out of the synthesis of astrological research. Masaryk used money as his primary absolute proof ground to being. He would say, if it doesn't work at the track, it doesn't work in your daily life. Armchair theorizing is one thing, however, one cannot kid oneself about the money. Either you have the money or they have the money. The essence of the entire technique is given to you on Grimalkin.com. Learn to tell your own fortune, free giveaway with zero spam, spyware, virus on Grimalkin.com. The best advice I have for you is to take my best advice. Read and heed every word of the material on Grimalkin.com. The contents only amount to a pamphlet. practice will provide one an accurate rendition of the secret of the cosmos, the meaning of life, enlightenment, how to read and predict it, and what to do about it. If did everything on grimalkin.com, one would be at will, at one with God, co-creators with God. Grimalkin's primary message is threefold: disciple, satsang, horoscopes, and health. The mystery. To be a great reader, one must know something of the mystery of life. The allopathic psychiatrist asks the patient how they feel about the great reader pill. When a void is created, it does not love you. The void must be filled with something, or nature fills the void and no telling what with. Regardless of what the problem is, solution is always the same. Disciple satsang. Satsang is when an incarnate Godhead speaks. Being only a disciple, we call it disciple satsang. They're given us 5 minutes to explain God, the meaning of life, and the cosmos, or as we say in the business, what is going on here. As this only takes 4 seconds, first favorite joke. Two astrologers out observing stars cross paths on a remote mountaintop. The one says to the other, if it wasn't for those multiple personalities, who would we talk to? Okay, ready to go.
That was cute, I like that.
Ready. Attention pattern manipulates mystic law, creating experience. Attention's on God or not. Say it again. Each and every moment forever, the pattern once attention is going in is manipulating the mystic law, the operating law of the Holy Ghost, Mother Nature, creating our experience. Attention pattern is cause. Everything else, literally everything else is effect. Bodies, tables, house, cars, chairs, jobs, clothes, everything else is an effect. Treat cause, effect is automatic. Attention pattern causes environment. The cumulative effect of one's attention pattern is called karma and is astrologically symbolized by the natal horoscope. Rather than wandering about lost, lower self-essence dominated, reacting to stimuli with our programming, one must reprogram one's attention pattern to continual meditation. Treat cause, effect is automatic. Attention pattern only has 2 basic choices. Attention's on God or not. That's it. Walk the Indian back 3 times. Unless one changes one's attention pattern, one continually recreates the same experience. One should do the consciousness of the master moment to moment with proper motive and purpose and purity of heart, continually direct one's attention to a pure spiritual affirmation. Anyone who says he knows what God is does not know Satchitananda. Darshan, the physical presence of the living incarnate Godhead, is the single most important element of spiritual evolution. One may call one of any of Satchitananda's integral yoga institute ashrams and get a lead on where to find the living Godhead. There are many ways to have one's attention on God. An example. Through the consciousness of the Christ, Master Matthew says before your grace, thank you, etc., etc., etc. A more in-depth explanation is available on the Satsang page at grimalkin.com. When it starts with I, you know you're safe this time for sure, pal. The highest path, that is self-inquiry, or who am I, is taught by Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi, who is known as the Heart of India, is the process of tracing the I thought to its source. This practice is known as the Way of Sages, as those who make it use this practice. This practice is credentialed by every living Godhead of my acquaintance, also many dead ones, for example, Paramahansa Yogananda. Due to the mystic laws of cause and effect, etc., attention patterns manipulating the mystic law, creating our experience. One is seeking self-realization. Therefore, by sending out who am I with one's attention, self-realization, who I am, is what comes back. As you sow, so shall you reap. Where did this I thought come from? Who is it that thinks thirst? Who is it that thinks I need to love, pray, chant, eat, drink, run, panic, save, spend, moment to moment? Continue the practice of self-inquiry. Who am I in tracing the I thought to its source? Who am I? Who wants to know? For more information, read the self-realization page on grimalkin.com. A mantra is a thought form, word level, pure spiritual affirmation, such as Om. The mantra should automatically run continually, like breathing or heartbeat, through one's attention. When you start making that list of things that create enlightenment by fulfilling desire, the wise mind out quickly, it is a very short list. If one is going to do a mantra, one might as well include the Dai Shonin Dayamoko Namyoho Renge Kyo mantra. Try more Dayamoko, less starch. We need a break here for station identification. Deborah?
Let's do that. You are listening to Count Kermalkin on Deb's The Horoscope Lady on BBS Radio. If you would like to call in to ask questions of the Count, please wait until after he is finished. But the call-in number for BBS Radio Daily is 877-876-5227. All right, and back now to Count Kermalkin.
Thank you. Kermalkin's primary message is threefold. Horoscopes. Do horoscopes for the location of birth in sidereal zodiacal longitude. Galaxies make up universes. Universes make up cosmic spheres. Our cosmic sphere is the matter of which our sun is the center. Before any understanding of astrology or education of astrology can take place, one must first understand and agree on what the zodiac is. The path the planets are orbiting through around the sun is the zodiac, and it's not moving. The path is sitting still, and the planets are moving through the path around the sun. This is physical reality in Western sidereal astrology. Rather than being like a molecule with particles whirling around every which way, the planets all orbit the sun in the same zodiacal ecliptic plane. The zodiac or ecliptic is the baseline of the three-dimensional model of our cosmic sphere. Do horoscopes for the place of birth in sidereal zodiacal longitude ecliptic with the fixed star Spica at 29 degrees of Virgo, 6 minutes, 5 seconds. The horoscope is a scientific document and must include complete and accurate and provable birth data. You must have, should have used the full birth name, date, first breath time, place, longitude and latitude, race, gender, done geographically with the Campanus table of houses, octoscope and east point angles, lunar mansions, major fixed star aspects, and constellation breaks. Essentially, as a result of the cumulative pattern of one's attention, the cosmos presents us with the stimuli. As a result of how one's attention pattern reacts to the stimuli, the game is afoot. Our reaction to the stimuli is most important. One is being walked and breathed down the path. With free will, one gets to direct one's attention to anything. One's most angular or motivating planet shows one's initial reaction to stimulus. The first reaction of a Navy with Jupiter as a motivator will be happy. With Saturn, sad. With Saturn conjunct Jupiter, mad, depressive. Happy, sad, happy, sad. And so forth through multitudes of possible aspect combinations. Astrology is a natural function of mystic law and is a set of symbology for the cosmic forces created or initiated by or through the operating law. Properly done horoscope and tarot card readings, all cast lots for that matter, yield a realistic peek into the psychological, therefore physical, past, present, and future. As above, so below. As on the inner, so on the outer. Astrology, tarot, any of these techniques, one is dealing with a set of symbolics for the psychological conditions one is dealing with. These conditions show how we relate things and therefore how things happen to or for us. Mystic laws of cause and effect, cycles, etc. Refer to a more detailed explanation in the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology Technique of Delineation PDF, available free on the Stars Equals Cards page of Kermalkin.com. You know, HTTP, www, all that. The way the cosmos works, astrology functions under the law of correspondence, the Hermes law, the law of analogy. As above, so below, as on the inner, so on the outer. Also, the laws of system and order. There is a system and order. You know, the earth goes around the sun, the little dailies whirl around at the moon. Law of cycles, among other things. The celestial motion of the planets through the zodiacal constellations symbolize the worldwide cosmic moment, the psychological conditions for the entire planet. It is when the celestial configurations file activated on one's personal horoscope file charts that one will personally have the corresponding event experience in one's daily life. Do horoscopes in the complete file format baseline. The complete file is the natal, secondary progress times and primary angles, secondary natal quotidian, yes, and due, solar return, month of solar return, winter return, and the daily and their daily progressed main angles. Also, the event chart interaspected with the transits and major fixed stars to all. The complete file is the natal with two charts a day, two a month, with two charts a year, two a month, and four a day, plus the event chart, the transits, which is done for the location of the event interaspected. All interaspected. All charts have to be interaspected. You know, you put the natal on, you put the progressed, the solar, the lunar, everything on the natal, you put them all on, so interaspected. Unless one's research is also displayed correct in the correctly done full file format baseline, there's no way to check what actually happened to judge what is really going on in the case at hand and therefore verify the validity of the research and what realistic relationship the application of the data has. Again, this file begins with accurate event times and longitude and latitude coordinates. So far, invariably, once one used the correctly done complete file baseline with three techniques of delineation, natal, predictive, progress, to see what actually happened, the answer becomes very obvious, and major events are so predominant they cannot be missed every time. See the Sidereal Horoscopes Chronicle Cur edition on the book information page at Malkin.com. It's time for a station break. Deborah.
Yes. You are listening to Count Gromalkin on Deb's the Horoscope Lady right here on BBSRadio.com. If you have any questions, please wait until after the count has finished talking, and the phone number is 877-876-5227. If you have any questions you'd like to write to Count Gromalkin, you can go to Gromalkin.com. And if you have any questions that you'd like me to answer on the air, please write to Debs, D-E-B-S, Debs at searchbythestars.com. All right, let's get on with this. Rather interesting. You're starting on health. Okay.
Correct, you are. Thank you. Health. Guns don't kill people. Doctors do. Approximately 500 a day or one death every 3 minutes just from allopathic medical doctor malpractice just in the United States of America, according to what it says in the newspapers. There are two main schools in medicine, the allopathic and the homeopathic. The allopathic MD is the most common type in Western civilization, and their strong suit is trauma. A broken bone, the allopathic MD is just fine. However, for the prevention and cure of psychological and physical disease, the homeopathic medical doctor is recommended, as they have a whole different modus operandi. The allopath floats something around in your bloodstream, trying to make your liver well, while the homeopath rebuilds each individual cell in your liver from the inside out by replacing its deficiency. Read the homeopathic and self-realization pages on Gromalkin.com for a more detailed explanation. Okay, the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology, Intrinsic Value of the Planets, Technique of Delineation, Introduction to Tarot, the Intrinsic Value of the Planets, Tarot, Technique of Delineation. It is incredibly easy to learn to tell your own fortune or anyone else's. Anyone, man, woman, or child, expert to novices, may learn to read their own fortune. Anyone, including children, can easily learn to consistently do accurate tarot card readings, or any cast lot for that matter, given proper technique. The cast lots are particularly easy, as tarot card readings, or all cast lots, you know, tarot cards, runes, chains, etc., delineate, they all delineate the same as planetary intrinsic values. Look up an I Ching figure, and it will say this one is the sun, that one is the moon, etc. The intrinsic value of the planets, and therefore the intrinsic value of the planets' technique of delineation, comes from and came from observation of events. What actually happened, birth, death, marriage, divorce, accident, inheritance, etc., so forth. The intrinsic values of the planet's technique of delineation is easy to learn and understand, as there are only 10 variables. To the whole gizmo of all of them, there's only basically 10 variables. There are a couple of recently discovered planets which will make it an even dozen, which sounds like common sense, but however, it will take quite some time to prove out a stable delineation for these planets. astronomy, medicine, religion, tarot, I Ching, among other things, are all based on derivatives of astrology. The first page of the Bible, God made the sun to rule by day, the moon to rule by night, credentials astrology. About the shop, we call it truth. Truth is not a matter of opinion, awareness, or agreement. Unless one's opinion happens to be true, it's just more subconscious baggage. Truth is that which changes not. That which remains the same for all, forever, on all levels of being, this side of vibration. That which appears to be changes constantly. It's a nice day, a factor of opinion. The mystic laws of cause and effect and polarity are a truth regardless of opinion, awareness, or agreement. The individual case at hand is true or false. Either it can come from anywhere, and each individual, moment to moment, is at will, at one with God, co-creators with God or not, and being a Godhead is never more than a deep breath away. Unless one can move mountains, part oceans, and heal masses with a wink, a blink, and a wave, one is an Ornot, which means that one has psychological problems to address. Regardless of the problem, the solution is always the same. Attention, pattern, manipulation, mystical law, creating experience, attention is on God or not. That's moment to moment to moment to moment to moment. Essentially, it's like a radio station that keeps drifting off the channel. You have to tune it back on. Every time you realize you're not meditating, just begin again. Keep going as long as you can. Next time you realize you're not meditating, just begin again. Eventually, it becomes second nature. The point here is that the true disciple gleans truth from whence it comes. The picture, the number, and so forth portrayed on a tarot card are irrelevant to the meaning of the card. In fact, the picture is often very misleading as to the intrinsic value of the card. Elaborate pictures whose symbology actually fits the delineation, actually fits the intrinsic value at hand, are just swell, however unnecessary. Often portrayals are hodgepodge of cosmic drivel all gobbledygook together. One may cut 78 squares of paper with no picture or number on them at all and just write the names of the card on them, the King of Fire, King of Wands, same thing. Or even just the astrological symbology and the element of case, Aries Fire, King of Wands. And the card means the same as it does when portrayed by the most elaborate glyphs and pictures and numbers or whatever. The intrinsic value technique, maybe. The sun's the sun, the moon is the moon every time, and neither one's ever Venus. Once one understands the intrinsic value of the planet's technique of delineation, spotting cosmic jive comes quickly, easily, and inevitably. They start telling you the spirit is the soul, and the sun, the moon, etc., and that big bell in the sky says, "Bong." On my desk, one will generally find a handful of Waite Rider Mini and Albino Tarot card decks, a couple of handful of decks of Crowley Minis, and in my pocket are Waite Rider Mini. The minis are used because of convenience. The cards are small, so a large layout and or several layouts may be done on a table. And both the Crowley and the Waite have beautiful pictures throughout. The Waite mini deck is proportioned like tarot cards. The Waite albino deck proportioned like playing cards. One would say first toss a general reading layout with a Crowley in the center, then do a past, present, future layout to the left. Yes, no layout to the right, and then in a Waite mini, and then next to that, further to the right, a yes and no layout with a Waite albino deck. So what this does, it gives you four layouts on the table with each deck, each layout in a different deck of cards, so that they don't accidentally get mixed together, which messes everything up, obviously. The results. It is time for a station break.
Yes, it is. Here, take your breath there. You are giving lots and lots and lots of information about what you do out there, professionally, I guess, and in your school of San Francisco Astrology. And if you've just turned in, you are listening to the Count Grimalkin on Deb's the Horoscopes Lady, a sidereal astrology show. It is May 27th, 2007, and this is bbsradio.com. If you have questions, please wait until we're finished, and you can call in on 877-876-5227. If you are listening to this on the archives, you can always send an email either to Grimalkin.com to ask him a direct question, or you can send one to Debs, D-E-B-S, that's Debs, at searchbythestars.com. All right, here, let's get on with the rest of this this terrific in-depth information.
Take a few deep breaths as the tarot cards must be shuffled as above, so below. Tarot cards, all cast lots, show the future for the way things stand now, unless something is done to effectively change the case at hand, which, of course, is what we're all about around here. Usually, I begin with an octoscope general reading of the immediate future of the next 3 months and work from there. More data is available free on GrimWalkin.com. Hope is free. Try this. Attention pattern manipulation is the glow creating experience. Depends on God or not. Learning tarot modus operandi. To be an efficient tarot card reader, one must have sight recognition of at least the astrological cross-reference to the cards and have a second nature realization of the intrinsic values of the planets. This technique lets one get beyond psychic guessing and depending on how one feels at the moment and so forth. Properly done, this is actually quite easy as there are only 10 planets and 78 cards. When there's an orange tail sticking around the corner and one grabs the tail, rather than having a tail, one actually has the entire tiger. So it is with the intrinsic values of the planets. When one identifies having hold of any part of an intrinsic value, one in fact has actually the entire intrinsic value or sign constellation by the tail. When one is happy, one has Jupiter by the tail, and therefore all the Jupiter qualities, good, bad, and indifferent. Philosophical, cheerful, overindulgent, status, conscious, status, seeking, etc., etc., etc. The idea is to consciously project the higher self or positive qualities of the planet at hand rather than lower self as dominated and reacting to stimuli with our programming and the lower self qualities of the intrinsic value. Read the intrinsic value of the planet in your notes and send out the positive side. Also read the Satsang Self-Realization and Diamoco articles on GrimWalkin.com and it will help you cope with all that reality nonsense. The intrinsic value of the planets. Once one understands the astrologer's way, the intrinsic values of the planet's technique of delineation, one then basically understands the delineation of the constellations or signs, as the delineation of the constellations are interchangeable with the delineation of their motivating planet. For practical purposes, the intrinsic value of the planet equals the intrinsic values of their corresponding constellation. Mars equals Aries, or read Aries as Mars. Yes, there are the solar crosses, carbon, fixed, immutable, the fire, the air, water, elements, and such. However, Venus is Venus, and Jupiter is Jupiter every time. For example, the sun equals Leo, equals spirit. The moon equals Cancer, equals soul, and soul, and so forth, on around the zodiac. The way to do the planets is to take your time and learn one planet at a time, one planet a week, or one planet a day if you're a really quick study. The idea is to take them one at a time until each planetary intrinsic value is second nature to you without having to think about it, rather than trying to learn them all at once. The one word intrinsic value of the planets, therefore, signs delineation, sun, spirit, moon, soul, Mercury, intellect, Venus, love, Mars, sex, Jupiter, wind, Saturn, lose, Uranus, intuition, Neptune, imagination, Pluto, death. The delineation of the intrinsic values of the planets is given away, free giveaway, in the PDF on the Stars Equals Cards page of GrimWalkin.com. Then it is simply everything we've talked about today is given away free on GrimWalkin.com, printable versions, everything. Then it is simply where and when to apply which one, who's in whose house, which is shown by the station and case on the layout or horoscope. For example, Venus in the Venus Lunar Mansion of Aries conjunct the rising sign or ascendant equals you are Venus, Venus, Mars, romantic. To delineate in any given sphere, use the intrinsic adjectives common to that sphere. For example, Venus psychologically, love and peace. Medically, kidneys. Mundanely, food and clothes, etc., etc., etc. The tarot cards. The easy way to learn the delineation of the tarot cards is to first learn the astrological cross-reference to the major arcana cards. First learn the major arcana. Then the court cards, and finally each individual suit of the minor arcana. Waite Rider Mini and Albino and Admuller Crowley Mini Tarot Card Decks are recommended. I personally especially love the Zagmuller, Crowley, Mini Crowley. The words, by the way, on the Crowley deck are wrong. Almost every one of them is wrong. He was a tropicalist, didn't even know it and all that. In fact, mystic gossip has it that tropical astrology was invented to retard the black magical community from medieval Europe. Thus, when you, you're trying to do your spell in Capricorn and all that, you're actually in Sagittarius and so forth,
yep.
And things don't work so thankfully. Anyway, it's the intrinsic values of the planets that count, not the words he has or the pictures or all that, although we do have beautiful pictures. The major arcana. The major arcana of the tarot is simply symbology for the planets and signs. Card number 0 to 21. Begin by arranging the major arcana cards in common order. Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. With the major arcana cards arranged by planet and sign order, common order, like we say, I mean, it's much easier to get into flow than when the arrangement is scrambled by the tarot via the tarot card number. The way to learn the card cross-reference of the cards to the planets is to use the flashcard technique they used to teach the children the alphabet. It is ever so easier to do readings when the cross-reference is second nature. Unnecessary to check the cross-reference for every card in a multi-deck reading. One may just draw the cross-reference in the border of the cards. However, by far the preferred technique is sight recognition. Just keep the list in front of you and go through the stacks of cards in order until by rote one instantly recognizes at least the planetary symbology for each card. For example, the sun card equals the sun. The stars equals cards cross-reference is given away on GrimAlkin.com. In fact, one may do a pretty decent reading using just the major arcana cards as long as you keep the layout small. The octoscope layout, which is 9 cards, that pretty much covers the situation, is pushing the limit. The minimum layout should be 5 cards, no less than 5 cards. The court cards. The court cards are easily remembered by their solar crosses. The kings are the cardinal cross, the queen is the fixed cross, and the pages are the mutable cross. You know, cardinal cross, Aries, Libra, Cancer, Capricorn, you know. And the aces and knights are the element in pure form, fire, earth, air, water. The aces are often the element not in motion, the knights the element in motion. The knights are also indicative of other people acting out one's problems by element station and situation. For example, if one's manic depressive, the cosmos will march you around the corner all day to run you into and interact with another manic depressive. The idea is that eventually one will observe the quality of the other person in oneself and realize that one has the same quality and get over it. Good luck. It's time for a station identification.
Yes, you are listening to Count from Alkin on Deb's the Horoscopes Lady on bbsradio.com. It is May 2007, and if you're hearing this live, you can call in and ask questions in just a moment on 877-876-5227. If you're hearing this on the archives, feel free to email either one of us, either Gromalkin himself at Gromalkin.com or Debs at SearchByTheStars.com. Back to the Count from Alkin.
Thank you, dear. The Minor Arcana Cards. Stack them up in order in 4 piles with the court cards. By suit, fire, earth, air, and water. Ace, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, page, knight, queen, king. Take each suit one at a time and just flash cards through them. The pattern of the minor arcana will then appear. There's a pattern to how those cards run in the minors. The ritual. In dealing with the actual mechanics of manipulating the cards, first start with the grace from the master and angels. This is the most important part of the reading. Due to free will, the angels generally refrain from forcing their help on one. One must ask for help to get it. The angels of the light are the ones in charge of getting the cast lot, the tarot cards, in the correct station the reader must ornate. For example, Master, may I/we, please ask for your grace. Thank you, please send angels to watch over, guide, comfort, guard, protect us, tell us the truth, help us realize the truth, stay with us until it's taken care of, thank you, amen, home, so forth. Without this step, one is just wasting one's time, as there is no way to know, given proper mechanics, that the cards, the cast lots, are in the correct station. This clears any residual astral garbage or leftovers from the previous readings hanging about. Refer to the Angels page on grimalkin.com for more angelic information. Take a few deep breaths and get settled, be calm, refrain from idle chit-chat. To begin the reading, first realize exactly what the query is and the time period. Decide which layout or layouts are best suited to solving the type of problem, situation, query, or will provide the information one needs. Shuffle 7 times. Always cut the cards left-handed. Cut into 3 piles. Restack to 1 pile as you will. Then deal. When using the reverse card technique, the reverse cards is a good technique for beginners especially, because the reverse cards show a lower self manifestation. So upright cards, higher self, reverse cards, lower self. In the advanced way, I don't reverse them because you just read the situation like a horoscope. But the reverse card does work and work well. Doing the reverse card technique, shuffle 7 times, cut the cards into 3 even piles. Reverse the center pile, restack into 1 pile, shuffle 7 more times, then cut the deck into 3 stacks, restack to 1 pile, and then deal. One may rub the palms of the hands together a bit, then pass the palm of the left hand over the 3 stacks, feel the high, medium, and low energy coming out of the stacks, and then restack them into 1 pile with the high on the top, medium in the middle, and low on the bottom. Lay the cards out in the order shown for the layout being used. Then apply the planetary intrinsic value of each card to its station on the layout, such as Jupiter on the ascendant station, you are happy and successful. Jupiter on the mid-heaven station, career is happy and successful. Jupiter on the descendant station, general relationships with other people are happy and successful. Jupiter on the nadir station, spouse scenario is happy and successful, and so forth for every station of the layout or the horoscope. The art of delineation. The planet equals subject constellation station application. The sun in Aries, read sun. What equals what? Read Aries. Mars equals how? On ascendant, you are. The intrinsic values act individually and collectively. Once you understand the intrinsic values of the planets, the art of delineation is actually fairly simple. You take the intrinsic value of the one planet that exists independently, like it was the only one there. The intrinsic value of the other planet exists independently also. Then you intermingle the intrinsic values, they also exist collectively. For example, Jupiter is happiness over indulgence. Venus is love over indulgence. Jupiter conjunct Venus, happiness, love, double the over indulgence. See how the intrinsic values will manifest, repeat the individually and collectively intermingling process with their station and situation. Happiness, love, overindulgence on station nadir, spouse is, mid-heaven career is, so forth and so forth. And Taurus gives a nice artistic love foundation. This added lunar mansion of Taurus, happiness, love, artistic, adds stubborn, frustrated, and denied. Patient and practical, heavier on the overindulgence, et cetera, square or Uranus, the intuition aids, adds excitement, et cetera, and so forth. Then you just count the score on the positive and negative to read the higher and lower self, yes, no, and so forth. You know, 87 Jupiters and 10 Saturns, positive reading. 87 Saturns and 10 Jupiters don't look so good. Sun and Moon are lights and illuminate whatever's there. Mercury expresses whatever's there. Jupiter, Venus, and Uranus equal plus good. Saturn, Neptune, Pluto, Mars minus bad, especially in transit. Superior angles are positive plus good. Inferior angles negative minus. Again, to delineate in any given sphere, use the adjectives common to that sphere. Love and peace, Venus. Psychologically, mundanely, food and clothes, medically, kidneys, etc., etc., etc. The art of synthesis. Synthesize the horoscope. First look at the sun taken by itself, then the moon taken by itself, then the rising sign taken by itself, then the midheaven taken by itself, then the most angular planet in its situation, the next most angular situation, the next most angular situation. I left something out, you said sun, moon, ascendant, midheaven, then the angles. Then you do the angles, like whether it's the cardinal fixed, the mutable cross, fixed cross, whatever. The most angular planet in the situation, there are usually 2 or 3 basics. The next most angular planet, the next most angular situation. Most charts usually have 2 or 3 basic situations. parts of one big cumulative complex situation. Some people, maybe people have very simple makeups, other people have very complex cerebral support. Get your free star physical cards, lay out the order of delineation, the intrinsic values of planets, learn to rub one's operandi, astrological truths and fallacies, horoscope wheel, San Francisco School of Sagittarial Astrology, USA Technique of Delineation are all given away on promotion.com. Many lifetimes of work, cumulative research of many civilizations given to you for your personal use free on promotion.com. Deborah, thank you very much for everything. Good luck, love. Thank you. Thank you for having me on. You've conducted yourself like the great lady you are. And always remember, angels can fly because they take themselves lightly.
That's it. Now, don't get off the air right away because I actually have got a couple questions I want to ask you. Sometimes early morning, we don't get a lot of early morning call-ins, but we will get emails after that. How does somebody, and I want to spell this again, because Grimalkin has its sounds, but it's, for anyone looking for Grimalkin.com, it's GRAMALKIN.com. And about the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology, you've given us a great outline here of it, but what type of courses do you all meet in the evening? Is it over the internet?
We've got a little misunderstanding here, dear. The old man ran the school. He's dead.
Right.
There is no class at this moment.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
I'm out of the San Francisco school. There's a lot of very prominent astrologers, in fact, went to that school. What happened is this. Here in San Francisco, back in the 60s and 70s, it was a hotbed of metaphysical activity. There were several really large metaphysical centers, like where we held class was called the Metaphysical Center, Bob Berkeley's place, and there was like 3,000 people a month through that place. They had three classrooms running constantly and all that, plus the store and books and all that.
We had the same thing here in D.C.
Then what happened is that all disappeared. By the late 70s, it was all gone. Now places like Hot Springs, Arkansas are like that, you know. But it came and went here. Now there is no place here. There's no real metaphysical community here anymore. No place to really have classes. No real traffic or anything. And so, essentially, I'm not holding class at this time. I privately tutor, but mostly just giving away the essence of what the old man taught me on the internet.
Right, and that's certainly something I have seen. I have seen on your site that you do give away so much. But I do know there are some people who would like to tutor with you or something. So just get hold of you through your website, and maybe if you feel like taking on more students. I do want to ask you did you start as a tropical astrologer, or did you immediately start as a sidereolist? Mm-hmm. What did you do? What made your eyes pop and say, yeah, the sidereal makes so much more sense?
What happened was, back in the 60s, we were totally 24/7 gung-ho spiritual evolution and self-realization truth seekers. You know, I mean 24/7. It's all we ever did or talked about or anything, you know. And so I found out about the seek and you shall find, so I started seeking my guru, and just like that, Shazam, he pops up. I credentialed him to the ARE people. He turned out to be legitimate, out of Yogananda, And so then I decided to become an astrologer because of trying to enhance my own spiritual evolution, and I wanted to be able to have a career in something that helps people in spiritual evolution. My prime directive is to advance mankind one giant step. If I could just get one step, that step would be attention to better manipulation and block reading is right. So I'm going to not do those horoscopes sidereally. And so, the very first Whole Earth Day, Sajidananda and Vishnu Devananda and all those guys were going to be there. And so I went down there because I heard that this guy, a guy named Ramana Ananda, who was out of the beat scene in Manhattan, had been an astrologer for 10 years and had been in bliss for 10 years. He was staying at Ananda meditation retreat, Kriyananda's place up in Grass Valley, and he was going to be there. So I went there to find him and to get him to do my horoscope. And what happened was he was a tropicalist, and he moved into my home and became my 24/7 astrological teacher tutor.
Wow.
While he was living there, while he was teaching me, he told me that he had just found out that the Hindu astrology was the real deal, and that that's what I should learn to do. So just some time after that, I stumbled into the Metaphysical Center downtown, and Bob Berkey was standing there, and I go in there, and I'm prattling on about, you know, how I'm a tropical astrologer. Of course, I didn't know I was a tropical astrologer. I was an astrologer, and I wanted to learn about this Hindu astrology thing, you know. And Berkey's going, he cracks up, he says, "Have I got a guy for you?" So he drags me around the corner and introduces me to the old man, John Mazurek, Reverend Professor John Mazurek. And John and I shared 33 years together. We had 7 years of 6 to 8 hours of class a week.
Wow.
And that's how it all happened. It was luck of the draw, luck of the Irish. I just got guided right into the whole deal.
That's it. You were just there. Yeah, lucked out.
Like I always say, I figured the whole thing out all by myself with no help.
Love it.
Actually, I never
I know, I know. I noticed that. Okay, you use the Kampanis houses, and of course you do.
Is that separate. The way you're supposed to say it, Kampanis?
Well, it's because I'm from Southern Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
You say Kampanis?
Yeah, I do.
That's fine. Kampanis, you know, we do that soft A thing. You know, soft vowel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you separate out, of course, the, I imagine it's a, you know, like a double wheel on the outside where you separate out the constellations and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use those specific, now, I've, you know, that's, I know there's a lot of sidereal astrologers that don't use any house systems. All they do is break the, I guess, the ascendant and the descendant, and then they, you know, they use the angles, the midheaven and the IC, and that's it, and then everything else just kind of falls around in between. Why component? I mean,
If it doesn't work at the track, it doesn't work in your daily life.
Bingo. Yeah. Okay, that's it, yeah.
And the old man, like I said, he took me to the track one day. He picked 5 consecutive number one horses using nothing but astrology. He didn't know the jockey's name, the horse's name, nothing. He picked 5 consecutive number one horses with straight astrology, you know. And plus, he did the stock market and all the rest of that stuff, you know, for 60 years, you know. And like for example, Cyril Fagan was doing charts for the place of residence, right? But he lived just a short distance from where he was born, London and Dublin, you know.
Right.
In America, you know, Berkey from New York and lived in, on the coast, giant difference in the angles. You know, it didn't take much empirical research to figure out that, you know, and that's why, it's because of empirical research. Now, the second best system of house division is the periphery, the periphery is the second best. However, I'll throw this in, is it's about the octoscope. The octoscope is the treasure of this kind of a deal. And what it is, now midpoints between planets don't work, midpoints between planets and angles don't work, but the midpoint between the angles does work. Zodiacal longitude midpoint. You figure the midpoint, it's on my website. And,
right, between like the ascendant and the IC and the descendant.
Exactly, right. Yeah. And this gives you the 8 watches. Now the angles are the center of the watch rather than the edge like in the houses. Okay,
right.
And it's the watches that have the delineation, and the midpoint angles can drift. They'll go 10th, 11th, or 12th house. The midpoint angle can be in any one of the 3 houses, depending on all the et cetera, you know.
Right, how far up, down you were born, yeah.
Exactly. So, and the midpoint angles have a 5-degree orb. Progress charts, 0 midpoints on any progress charts. No midpoints on progress charts. So if you use the 4 main angles and the east point, of course, the 4 main angles, the east point, and the octoscope. If one refrains from using the mid and the east point, one is only getting 44% of the activation.
Of what's there, yeah. That's I know it's so refreshing when I talk to other sidereal astrologers, because they do use things like the east point. They do use not just, well, the MC can be anywhere. It's not the start of the 10th house cusp. And they remember the IC, they remember the descendant, and they, you know, put those in, and they use the math, essentially. And you do get better delineations that way.
Also, if I might, just for astrologers out there, I might throw in about the lunar mansions. Lunar mansions, so far, I've been following them steady since the 70s, and so far they've always read true and ring true. And it shows you on the website how you use them. But those lunar mansions, rather than the deacons and all that stuff, you know, those lunar mansions add another whole layer of the information there that you really need, you know. And like, for example, the moon lunar mansion of Taurus reacts much differently than the Saturn lunar mansion of Taurus.
You know, it does. We're almost completely out of time. But I'll tell you what, I'd love to have you back sometime over the summer, and let's do a show just talking about lunar mansions. Just if you can focus on that and just talk about that, because it is one of those, it's an excellent tool. It makes so much sense. And again, modern astrologers just kind of, you know, it's not, I don't pop it up. It's not easy. I got to learn how to do it. They don't mess with it. So, I don't know. Well, consider that, will you?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Anything you want, Deb. Zurich's pamphlet on lunar mansions is on the website in the PDF on the Stars Equals Stars page, the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology Technique and Delineation PDF. His whole thing on lunar mansions is right there.
Oh, terrific, terrific. All right. Well, sir, thank you so very,
very
much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh.
It's a great calling and everything to try to help people in their evolution and ourselves and so forth, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Certainly, sir. Okay, bye now. You've been listening to Deb's the Horoscope Lady, and today's guest was Count Grimalkin. It was May 27, 2007, right here on BBS Radio. Tune in again next week at this time, whatever that time zone may be for you, and we'll have another guest and another chat on Sidereal Astrology. Bye now.